rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, my beloved listeners, wherever you may be listening to us from. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. A very interesting topic that I've chosen to discuss today. Growing up with three brothers, I saw a lot of it. I injured myself as well. And also being a former teacher, it was something that I experienced many times. Because, you know, as a teacher, you're not just a teacher, you're also sometimes the doctor and the nurse. What am I talking about today? I am talking about bone health and the youth. Yes, broken bones, splinters, having a cast, hopping along with those, I can't even remember the name. I remember we used to go around, you know, going and writing your name on people's casts when they had it around their legs, on their arms. And when we think of broken bones and we think, okay, it's part of growing up, it's one of those things, but it's actually something that is of a huge concern, my beloved listeners, for many, many, many reasons. First and foremost, if it's not taken care of properly, it's going to become a problem as the child grows up. Also, when it comes to correct bone health, when I mean correct bone health, it's not just about saying to your children, don't climb up a tree, don't run, don't. It comes from within, with regards to diet, with regards to maintaining the correct weight, with regards to what are you eating. So there's a few myths that I need my guest to bust the myth, if it is a myth, and inshallah, because he is a specialist, he is an orthopedic surgeon, he is Dr. Mohammed Bamji from Johannesburg, based at Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital, as well as in private practice. I'm going to take full advantage of his knowledge and skills today, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Youth Talk, Dr. Bamji.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Bibi Aisha, and assalamu alaikum to the listeners as well.
Okay, so I have to ask you, Dr. Bamji, like I said, I'm going to take full advantage of your expertise. First and foremost, Jazakallah khairan for availing yourself to come onto Youth Talk. Lots of important information that you are going to be sharing today, but I must ask you the very first one. As a child, my mother would go on about, please drink milk. Milk is very good. Strong, healthy bones. You need calcium. And then you would hear it at school. And then you would hear it from family members. Are you drinking enough milk? Not cold drink, drink milk. Milk, strong bones, strong teeth, must, fact, what's the truth?
Okay, good question, and something that we often get asked as orthopedic surgeons by the moms after the child has had any sort of injury. But let me start by saying, people can get the recommended daily amount of calcium by just eating healthy. And that's the major part that I want to emphasize today. And that includes, like you said, calcium-rich foods. So that's your milk, your yogurt, your cheese, or any other dairy product. And these are the bigger sources of calcium. But I definitely think there is room for calcium supplements, but I think diet is the most important. So your mom was not wrong. She had something going when she said that. So we tell patients, a more complete list of calcium foods would include some stuff like kale, broccoli, cabbage, sardines, salmon, tofu, calcium-fortified cereals, etc., etc. But the important thing is that although adequate calcium can be obtained through the diet, it's difficult for many people, particularly those who avoid dairy products because of lactose intolerance or they're vegan or any other medical condition. For them, we would say, just eating dairy is not enough, and they might need to get some extra calcium in their body. So it's always this debate of how to do it. But my major recommendation to most moms out there and young kids growing up would say, if your diet is balanced, I'm sure you're getting the enough calcium that you need. And what the Orthopedic Foundation has said is that males and females from the age 9 to 18, they need about 1,300 milligrams. And that's more than doable if you're eating a balanced diet during the day.
Yes, yes. Now, I need to ask you something else. This is like another concern, right? There's actually a question that I got from one of our listeners yesterday when she saw the poster for today's show, saying that, you know, the quality of our milk currently is not like it used to be in the good old days. So the concern is, are you still getting that calcium? I know that's also something that, you know, people are concerned about, that, you know, the milk quality now is not like before. And if you're using milk like almond milk, soy milk, all the other 5 mL, is it equivalent? And also, like you just said right now, you added on, other foods that we can include in our diet. But with regards to the milk question, can you assist, please?
Okay, I'll answer the milk question, but let me just add also, some foods make it harder for the body to absorb the calcium that you're giving it. In particular, you should avoid sodas and carbonated beverages, not just for bone health, but for many nutritional reasons, including preventing obesity. The sodas decrease calcium absorption in the intestines that contain empty calories. Milk, calcium, and fortified juices and water are better beverage alternatives than the soft drinks that we are currently drinking. So sometimes it's not putting the blame just on the quality of the milk, but in the general diet that we're giving our kids and teenagers. So yes, milk cannot be the child's only source of calcium. So if it's a concern around the quality of milk, I can't speak much too about the quality of milk, but what I can say as a doctor, I would recommend that you have multiple calcium sources in the child's diet. So like I said, milk, yogurt, cheese, broccoli, cabbage, all sorts of things. Don't just leave it up to the one single entity, milk. It can't start and end with milk in the kitchen, you know? Our moms need to be a bit more versatile in their approach to getting that calcium into the kids.
Now, Dr. Pamji, bone fractures, very common in children, teenagers, and adults. And when it comes to, playing sport, falling down, slipping, running and falling down, it's generally something that parents say, it's part of growing up, like I said when I introduced today's show. How should parents and young patients ensure the bone is healing by following certain doctor's orders, do's and don'ts? Please go ahead.
So musculoskeletal or bone injury conditions account for more than 500,000 annual hospitalizations in young children and teenagers and adolescents under the age of 21 in South Africa. So I want to start by saying that's a big number. So that means kids are getting hurt quite often. So what I'd want to say is that healthy bones in childhood equal healthy bones for life. So if you already are establishing healthy habits as a child, it sort of sets you up for a much healthier path when you get older. So as a child grows, bone is made and then constantly reshaped to keep its function. In the process of normal growth, much more bone is made than removed, allowing the child's skeleton to grow in size and density. Right? And as we're up to 90% of the peak mass of his bone is acquired in girls by the age of 18 and boys of the age of 20. So this just means basic in simple English, making childhood the absolute best time to invest in bone health through proper nutrition and exercise. So like you were saying, a diet rich in calcium helps build bone mass, and its appropriate levels of vitamin D and C allows that bone mass and body mass indexes to be absorbed and calcium to create a strong connective tissue. However, when there's an absence of this vitamin D, it can result in bone abnormalities. And then that's when you get children who lack vitamin D, where you'll get conditions such as rickets, which causes bone weakness, those bowed legs you see some kids walking around with, and other abnormalities. Or, kids who walk with that stooped old man's posture, with the back arched, and they often get fractures throughout their life, even as adults. So everything gets set up when they're younger. And although everyone will lose some bone mass with age, people who develop a higher peak bone mass when they are younger are better protected against osteoporosis when they are older. It's this thing about investing in your health when you're younger. It pays off when you're older. That's the message. And I think another thing that we hardly talk about in teenagers now, Bibi Aisha, is obesity and bone health. So I just want to give you a quick percentage of what my research has given me this last week when I went and looked into this topic. The percentage of children who are overweight or obese has doubled over the past 30 years. It went from globally 7% in 1980 to a staggering almost 30% now in 2024. It's shocking to think that we have this thing attacking our teenagers. And, in your teenage years, that's when you're supposed to be at the optimum level of health.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. And then also that having that positive self-concept of yourself, finding out where you fit in. That is shocking and that is very disturbing.
Exactly. So what we always say, and it's great that you touched on the emotional aspect, because we always say orthopedic conditions and injuries have the potential to affect the child's health both physically and emotionally, because with that comes the cost to the family and the healthcare system. And a child who is overweight may not constantly be eating foods that is rich in vitamin D, calcium, and other important nutrients, and as a result, they may be at risk for bone problems as they grow. In addition, the child's weight may prevent him or her from exercising and therefore building good bone mass. And thus obesity also has an influence on the developing skeleton of this child, especially the growth plates, you know, that gives the child length and longitudinal growth. So they tend to have all of these issues. And the complications, of course, ends up being that broken bones that you were talking about, especially in the thigh. We eat often. They have other joint pains. They have pathology that, you know, that means they are in the hospital more often than the child that is active and having a balanced diet.
Yes. I would also think the additional pressure on the child's knees and, like you say, the thighs of this added weight. So that would also, you know, add to the complications. And then we said, you know, interrelated with the bone health is obviously the mental condition where the child's going to be depressed. The child could be like, you know, not very sociable, worried what people think of him or her. And it just leads to a whole lot of problems that's just getting added on, you know, or which, again, these are reminders. You know, that brings me to my next question, Mohammed, that when people talk about, oh, it's just puppy fat, he or she will grow out of it, that puppy fat mentality needs to go away, because you are starting something that's going to go into a vicious cycle. Am I correct?
No, you're very correct. And you touched on a good point, because you said, because the growth plates are made of cartilage, they are easily damaged by excess body weight, and they can cause all of these sort of musculoskeletal conditions. And I think it's not so a bigger deal to say, we shouldn't look at the child and say somebody's overweight or not overweight. I think if we are teaching our kids good habits from the get-go in terms of diet and balanced exercises, then we can be happy parents. But to stereotype the child as either this child is active or the child is not, because kids are going to be different. But I think it's important for us to just ensure that we actively motivate them to get out there, do activities, eat healthy, and also have balance mentally. So they should balance the diet, they should balance the exercise, and of course the mental awareness that they should look after their body. You need to make the onus of looking after their body be their problem from when they are kids. They can't realize at age 30 that, oh, I need to look after myself. It's something we should do better now as kids, teach them looking after your body is very important.
Absolutely. It's an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a responsibility to look after your body for good health overall. Dr. Bamji, I have to ask you this, right? When we spoke about bone fractures, which is very common in children, like we say, when they're playing, it could be sports injuries, whatever could happen. Previously, I remember, you know, sometimes they'll say, you know, these are like kitchen remedies, so to speak. They will say put bori or arad on that area where there's a swell, and then, you know, cover it up, keep it elevated. Inshallah, it will get better. Obviously, that's the dua that, you know, you make all the time. Do those things still help? Because I know when it comes to turmeric powder, you know, it has anti-inflammatory properties. But now, seriously, from an orthopedic surgeon point of view, again, pass that must for me, please.
Good question, Bibi Aisha. Look, what I would say is, as a doctor who practices a lot of evidence-based medicine, there's definitely a role for when a child has an injury for using herbal remedies for helping the inflammation around the bone, whether it's massaging or giving an ice pack or elevation or any of those sort of things, compression bandages, etc. Open wounds and healthy, yes, there is an association with it being a natural antibiotic, but I definitely would advise my patients to seek the advice of a registered medical practitioner before employing home remedies. Rather, first get the advice of a medical practitioner to see if it's safe or not safe. And on that point of the injuries, I just want to say most of these are overuse injuries in children. And right, and in recent years, doctors have begun to see a significant increase in these sort of overuse injuries in children. And in most cases, these injuries are associated with sports. Because we've said do a lot of sports, but now we're saying don't do too much sports. So it's, you know, it's just up and down. Parents aren't sure. So what we're saying is, overuse injuries occur in a wide range of sports, from, say, cricket to soccer to gymnastics. Some of these injuries are unique to certain sports, such as throwing when you get a cricket elbow injury, or basketball injuries, or even a swimming injury to the shoulder. But overuse injuries affect muscles, ligaments, and tendons, and the bones. In children, these structures are still growing, and the growth is generally uneven as they grow. So bones grow faster than muscles in children. And then when there's an uneven pattern, young athletes are more susceptible to muscle and tendon injuries in the growth plate. So what we're saying is, what we should be doing in kids and what we recommend is that many overuse injuries in children can be prevented. And the key to prevention is to avoid overdoing any single sport and to give the growing bone adequate chance to rest between practices or games. So the Orthopedic Association basically says limit the number of teams in which the child plays in one season. Kids who play one or more teams, they are at higher risk for overuse. So what we're saying is if your child is doing soccer in the summer, maybe in the winter or spring months, let him change sports using a different joint. So have these well-balanced kids who are doing not only soccer, but doing cricket as well, or maybe then going off and doing hockey or doing swimming or road running, whatever it is. Allow the child to play sports all year round, not just one season of one particular sport, because that's when they get these overuse injuries. And I think you can look back at 10, 20 years in South Africa, there were multiple sports being played by kids. You know, think about your school. Your PE teacher used to do many different sports throughout the year. But for some reason, we've harnessed and moved towards single sports in our curriculums, in our everyday lives with our kids. And this has caused this phenomenon of overuse injuries in kids and doesn't allow that one particular muscle. About. Exactly. Yes. It's very complex. That's and it's you know. Yes.
Inshallah, after the ad break, we're going to be continuing, inshallah. My beloved listeners, I also want to add on to Dr. Bamji's do's and don'ts. Listen to your teacher in the maktab and in school, and to your family, and to your parents when they tell you, please don't run. I think that's also very important, and I'm saying this from a former school teacher's perspective, where often, you know, children would run when it used to be, the bell used to ring for break time, and they would run to the tuck shop and then fall down. Later you get summoned, this child in your class fell down, broken bone. The other thing which just like totally fascinates me, I mean, alhamdulillah, it's super exciting, but yeah, not always very safe. When the bell goes for the children to return to class and they race to come to the class, I mean, I'm talking now more about the foundation phase children who want to be first in line and sometimes trying to get to be first in line to get back into the class. They start fighting, they start falling, they start pushing, and that's when injuries also occur. So when your teachers say to you and your parents say to you, please don't run, please walk, please, 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 my beloved young listeners, please listen, inshallah. We will be continuing after the ad break. Please don't go away. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, my beloved listeners. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Shukr alhamdulillah for another day to make a difference, to educate, empower, motivate, and inspire ourselves first so that we can make a difference in the community, inshallah. And today we're talking about youth and bone health. And during the ad break, I've received lots and lots of very interesting messages. So today I'm taking full advantage of this gentleman because he is an orthopedic surgeon with a super specialization in trauma hand and microsurgery, but with an overall interest in all orthopedic and joint surgery. He's based in Johannesburg. He's based at the Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital, so we know lots and lots of experience there, lots and lots of exposure as well to a whole lot of different injuries, and he is Dr. Muhammad Bamji. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Dr. Bamji. And it's an absolute pleasure having you here on Youth Talk, because lots of very, very important information being shared by you, and I have lots of interesting questions to ask you. So again, may Allah reward you in abundance for taking the time to come onto the airwaves of Radio Islam International.
Walaikum salam to the listeners and to you, Bibi Aisha, and just thank you for you guys giving me the opportunity to help where I can in something that I feel quite passionate about, especially young people and physical activity and healthy bones for their future.
Ameen. Allah reward you in abundance. Now, I have a few questions here from our young listeners. This is so cute. So I love when they say, Appa Baby Aisha, I am sitting at home now and I broke my leg and I have this horrible cast that I have to wear and it's making me so tired, and my mother and father keeps on saying I need to keep it up. I need to have it elevated. I love the way this little boy wrote the word elevated. Mashallah. Dr. Bamji, please help. I'm tired and I don't like it and it's making my body sore.
Unfortunately, there's very little help I can give, because I'm pretty sure mom and dad are following the doctor's orders. And the thing about casts, right, they just protect the bone while the bone is healing internally. So the cast, because, you know, bone is made so hard with that calcium and magnesium and vitamin D and everything that goes into it. For it to heal, it takes time. You know, it's not like a simple wound where you cut your skin in a week's time, that wound is closed. Bone can take up to 3 to 6 weeks for kids to heal. But I always advise my patients who are and teenagers, kids, I say, make the most of this time where you're going through this thing with the cast. Take a picture of it. Get your, like you said, growing up, get your friends to sign it, your cousins, your family. Because one day you're going to look back and you're going to remember, you know, on your wedding day, you know, I had one mom who said, you know, her son broke 3 times the same bone over and over doing the same thing. She said on his wedding day, she took out all 3 of those pictures and said, look how many times I spent at night in hospital with you having 3 different surgeries of what you did. And she said, you know, he broke down in tears on the wedding day to say, Mom, thank you for everything you've done. This just made me realize and appreciate, like, the journey that happened before I became an adult. You know, you and Dad really worked hard, and you know, the sacrifice. So I think it's part of growing up, and I think a little bit of patience. The doctor and your parents just want the best for you with the cast. Yes, the cast can be very annoying, can become itchy, it is heavy, but we usually give crutches to help the child move around. But I would say use this time to reflect, try maybe change some behaviors, see if you contributed to you getting the fracture, how you can prevent the fracture from happening again. So I think use this time as a reflective period in your life. I know it's difficult for our young people to reflect these days, but any illness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, there's always a lesson to be learned from it. And He wants us, it's not because He wants us to be injured. He wants us to take the lesson from there and become better going forward.
Absolutely. And it's also a time now where you get your parents to spoil you, a little one. So if you're feeling like you want to eat something that's calcium rich, because I'm paying attention to the doctor, then you can just say, Mom, get me this, please. Dad, get me this. Alhamdulillah. I must just add something onto this because I thought it was such a beautiful, cute message. I remember when in my teenage years, I actually just finished matric and I had an exercise injury. I tore a ligament on my right leg and it was excruciating. So I want to ask you just now about ligament health, because that's also something that youth experienced. But I do remember when I had that cast on my leg and, you know, walking with crutches. That was the word I was struggling to get in the beginning of the show, crutches. It was quite an experience, because it's like your whole body weight on this crutch. And I remember my second brother was really, really cute. Alhamdulillah, Abdulaziz Lehe. You know, he took a marker and he wrote a message there and he said, look to the future and put your best leg forward. I'll never forget that. But also when you think about... No, alhamdulillah, really. But I also remember that when it comes to ligament health, please, Dr. Bamji, if you can talk about it as well, because we know bones and, you know, we have bone injuries, but now ligaments also tied in with bone injuries. Please, go ahead. Tell us more about that.
Definitely. So I think we're definitely going to talk about ligament injuries. And the other thing before we talk about ligament injuries that moms usually come with and complain of before that's linked to the ligament injuries is The child doesn't particularly have always a ligament injury. They have what all the parents keep, or the layman people call, growing pains. And this is a term that refers to pain in the legs and around the joints of actively growing children. And, you know, for many years, Bibi Aisha, doctors and professors were not seeing this as a real clinical entity. And only in 1988, it officially became recognized as a clinical entity that us doctors are going to believe and follow, because they were doing x-rays and they were doing bloods and all sorts of examinations on these kids, but they weren't seeing anything. And the kids were always complaining, but I'm still having pain in my joints. However, I must stress that this is a diagnosis of exclusion. This means the doctor must first make sure there's no other issues, no other conditions causing your bone pain. Then they can call it growing pains. And growing pains usually happens around the joints, and it happens with children aged 2 to 12 years, sometimes up to the age of 16, 17, till those growth plates close and the bone matures. And you, like I said to you, the mom would bring the child every few months saying, he's complaining, especially in the afternoon, of pain, but the doctor cannot find anything. He's done x-rays, MRI, CT scan, blood, nothing. There's no visual changes. The leg is not swollen. It's not warm. It's not bruised. But this child is saying, I'm limping a bit. It's painful, and you can't get anything. And what we suggest... That's the key, right, Bibi Aisha? The thing is that there's no actual treatment. The treatment recommended by the Orthopedic Association is that education of the parents and the caregivers is the mainstay of treatment. The family and the patient can be reassured that this is a common problem, because as the joints and the child wants to grow longer, it happens in kids that are actively growing. And being alert to changes in the nature of the pain. So if the pain was graded maybe a 3 or 4 out of 10 before, and all of a sudden in a week's time the child's screaming in agony, that's when the parent must be worried and bring the child to the orthopedic surgeon immediately. So we always say, if the nature of the pain changes, that's when you as a parent need to act quickly and get the child to your local orthopedic surgeon so that he can then sort of make an assessment and see if it is really serious. But then that local stuff you were talking about before, the stuff you said your mom was teaching you, Bibi Aisha, so you know, the heat and the cold application, heating pads, the ointments, you know, the Vicks and all of that that our people love using, over-the-counter stuff, you know, just as ibuprofen or some Panado, that should help the child go through this phase of growing pains. Other than that, there's nothing else you can do or the doctor to do besides just may reassure you that it's not something that's going to affect the child in the long run.
That is so fascinating, because it's a term that I've often heard of. But like we said, you know, previously people were not certain what exactly is a growing pain. It's amazing. Dr. Bamchi, back to the ligaments, please. I can speak about that from a personal experience. That is very, very anal. It is extremely painful, and that swelling took like forever to go down. Please tell us some more on ligament care as well. Please go ahead.
Okay. So look, the thing about ligaments is, if you want strong ligaments, you have to use them. Ligaments, bones, muscles, they're basically living tissue. And they respond to exercise, and they become stronger as you exercise more. So what we're saying, during physical activity or getting up, like you said, those kids who run out of the class very quickly after sitting, you know, you need to give the muscles a little bit of advance warning sometimes that you're going to be doing a quick movement. So we use, it's the whole idea of before you start a gym class or PE or go to the gym, there's always that warm up, you know? So in both strong muscles and ligaments, regular activity strengthens it and lowers the chances of you getting an injury. It improves the strength and flexibility of those ligaments. So when you don't exercise enough and you maybe had a few months that you haven't, and then all of a sudden you go and you do an activity, or your friends invite you to go ice skating on a Saturday and you haven't done it in a long time, you've kind of been at home for the last 3 months, you know, having a bit of a sedentary lifestyle, playing your PlayStation, and all of a sudden now you're going there, you're doing all sorts of movements on the soccer field Saturday night, you are going to tear that ligament, you know? And that's the key. We always say, you have background good health and ligament health, then it's less chances for you to tear the ligament. So I have some tips for the kids. So I would say, plan to be active at least 35 minutes each day. You know, this can be broken up into short periods. Try 15 minutes of walking, 20 minutes of sport. You can even keep a little log. You know, your kids on these days, they have apps for all these things. Build your strength in your legs, your hips, your lower back. You can track your physical activity with so many apps these days. And then the important thing is exercise can be fun. Soccer, basketball, you can do some aerobics, stair climbing, tennis, outdoor, you know, skating, karate, bowling. Mm-hmm. There's so many things it can do. But the important thing is to do it on a regular basis, because those ligaments, once they get tight and not used, then you go back and you start using them. That's when they're at risk for sort of tearing and having the injury. And then you're going to be stuck in the situation, because Aisha, you're on the crutches and your brother's having
and
to motivate you to get, you know?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And then I think also, Dr. Pamji, the importance of, like, when you are done with a workout or you're done with whatever sort of exercise, then you need to also have, like, a cool-down exercise. Because I would think that, you know, from being so vigorous, doing whatever, and then your body needs to cool down. And that's something that, I mean, I'm going to be very honest with, lots of children forget to do. Can you please just elaborate on that? So you...
100%.
That's sort of like toning it down now, you know? Like the cool off period after exercise.
Yes, so you know what I usually say, because this is something that we get often, because then when the mom says, when the child had the injury, she says, Doc, everything was fine, we got home, and then the child had the injury, he was doing something in the house, you know, or he was showing us the move he did in the soccer, and that's when he actually injured. So I always tell them that cool down thing doesn't have to be them doing some sort of activity, but stretching is very good. You know, just small repetitive movements. Or I say, make exercise part of their daily routine. So whether the child will go out and do some chores, raking some leaves, painting, walking the dog, anything that will just give him that cool down period mixed with physical activity, you know, because kids kind of don't want to do these things. So maybe turn it into a chore for them to do something around the house, and that can be sort of still using their muscles to cool down, but they have that period instead of just going to sit down on the couch and doing no sort of cool down period.
I have another question I have to ask you, because this, this from one of our listeners has messaged me privately that my son often has this problem where he has pins and needles, and she just needs some info about that. And twice what happened was when he got up, when he was sitting down, he's doing HIV, and you know, when he got up, he actually fell and hurt his leg, and twice we had to take him to the emergency room. Please, can you advise on how he can maintain better health? That is very painful when you're sitting in a certain position for a long time.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it comes back to the sort of holistic way that we've been thinking. If we can get this particular child, I mean, I don't know the whole story and the background of the child, but what I can advise is that holistic sort of exercise regular, make physical activity an everyday part of this child's life, and, you know, make him... That allows the muscles, the bones, the ligaments to kind of get used to a routine. And maybe this can help him to prevent injuries in the future, because exercise is the key thing. Exercise and diet are the two key pillar stones that will help this child prevent injuries. Remember, injuries happen only when there's unhealthy movement or unhealthy routines. So if we can get this child to be a bit more active, better diet, and, you know, but more careful maybe when he gets up, or I'm not sure in which position he got up or was lying in. The pins and needles, definitely something of concern. I would definitely visit my doctor. If the child has pins and needles, they should definitely do a full neurological examination, especially of the spine, to see if there's any issues with the child and the growing spine, to see why he's getting pins and needles, because that's implying that there's some sort of issue with the nerve, and that should be seen by an orthopedic surgeon to just double-check that there's nothing sinister going on.
Jazakallah khairan. Dr. Bamji, I'm going to ask you for your closing message, and please do remember that we are going to be troubling you often now on Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, because when it comes to bone health, there's still so much more that we can talk about. So inshallah, we're going to do that for another Saturday. But what is your message to our listeners in closing for today's topic?
Okay. I'm going to give a short 3-minute thing. So what I'm going to say is make physical activity a part of the child's schedule for at least 30 to 60 minutes a day and reinforce the message that exercise is fun and it's also a sunnah. Choose games, toys, and gifts that involve activity. And I think it's important for kids to model active behavior. So if the parents are active, the kids will be active. Join children on the bike ride, on the ball game, on the long walk. Use physical activity as a family activity. You know, take the family on a Sunday on a canoeing trip, walk in the park. And, you know, these are all positive behaviors that will build the family's relationship and the physical activity and health of the family. And then make sure, lastly, make sure the children get sufficient calcium to keep their bones strong. It's the most important thing, and I emphasize that diet is the main source of calcium.
One last question I have to ask you. We spoke about vitamin D, right? And I mean, alhamdulillah, when we think of vitamin D, the sun, go out in the sun, enjoy the sun. Remember during COVID, everyone was sitting outside for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. I need that direct sunlight. Why is that being reduced now? So, doctor, I'm going to ask you a quick, short statement on the importance of getting your natural vitamin D.
Okay, so like I would say, getting vitamin D from what we eat is very difficult. While many foods contain some vitamin D, few contain enough to meet the daily recommended levels, right? So what we would say is, yes, there should be some sun exposure. We should definitely mix it with diet as well. Our bodies make vitamin D in our skin when it is exposed to good sunlight. It's very important to protect the skin, though, using sunscreen when we do go outdoors. This blocks excessive UV radiation that can cause skin cancer. However, sunscreen also blocks the skin's ability to make vitamin D. That's why it's a balancing act. I mean, we're not saying spend hours out in the sun, but I'm saying motivate kids to go out and be in the outdoors, the same as you and I. When we were kids, Bibi Aisha, we did well outside. I mean, put on the cap, put on a bit of a long sleeve T-shirt. There's certain ways moms and dads can allow the child to still get adequate sun exposure without the risk of developing any sort of dangers that we know from excessive sun exposure. But definitely, I'm an advocate of getting the kid out there and also with a balanced diet, of course.
And definitely, Dr. Mohammed Bamji, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on Youth Talk. Inshallah, like I said, many more shows to come on Bone Health. May Allah reward you in abundance and accept your efforts. Jazakallah khair. And also when you do go into the theater, when you are operating, may Allah always guide your hand, inshallah. Jazakallah khair and so much for your time.
Jazakallah, and thank you so much for the time as well, Bibi Aisha, and the platform. May Allah bless you.
Ameen, ameen, Allahumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. My beloved listeners, when it comes to our body, remember during the month of Ramadan, our theme on Radio Islam International was the greatness of Allah in the human body. Today we focused on bone health, alhamdulillah. Remember, our body is a ni'mah. It has been entrusted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we taking care of it? How are we using it in the way that it's supposed to be used? So inshallah, let us be mindful of what we eat, how we spend our time. Are we exercising? Are we getting enough exercise? Are we resting correctly and using our body, alhamdulillah, to perform the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do, inshallah. My beloved listeners, kindly remember me and the team of Radio Islam International in your du'as, inshallah. Until we speak again next week Saturday, please remember us in your du'as, inshallah. Look after yourself, never underestimate the power of du'a, and don't ever stop talking about Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant freedom to the people of Palestine and to Muslims who are oppressed everywhere, inshallah. Until we speak again, jazakallah khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.